Welcome to another episode of Jamaican Gangster. On today's episode, we are featuring Harry McLeod, the man they called Harry Dog. If you are not following us, we would be honored if you would consider doing so. It costs you nothing to hit that button so that you will be notified every time we release a new episode. Now, let's get into it. It is 7:50 in the morning on January 30, 2021. Darling Street in downtown Kingston is already moving. Vendors pulling back zinc shutters. Bikes threading between buses on Spanish Town Road. The intersection is open, ordinary, unguarded. Harry McLeod is standing on the road when the silver car comes around the corner. Several men are inside it. They do not slow down until they are close enough. Then they open fire. McLeod is hit multiple times. People nearby scatter. The car is already moving before the echo settles. He is rushed to hospital. He does not survive. Harry Dog, the last standing pillar of the most powerful inner circle Tivoli Gardens ever produced, is dead at 51. The next day, the Commissioner of Police, Major General Anthony Anderson, stood before a Jamaica Constabulary Force press conference and said, according to the Jamaica Observer, that police had a good sense of who did the shooting and that the Kingston West team was pursuing them with targeted operations. He said it plainly. He said it publicly. And then the silence came down over West Kingston, the way it always had. No arrests were announced. No names were published. The men in the silver car drove into the city and disappeared into it. The way things in that world always disappeared when the garrison did not want them found. That silence is the thread this story will keep pulling. Because Harry Dog had lived inside that silence his whole life. It had protected him through criminal charges and collapsed trials and acquittals and years of surviving in a world where men like him rarely reached 50. And at the end, when the silence finally moved against him, he had nothing left to hide behind. To understand who Harry McLeod was, you have to understand what the presidential clique actually was. Not in the way the street used the name, casually, as shorthand for Dudas and his crew. In the way the Jamaican Parliament understood it, when security forces moved through Tivoli Gardens on May 25, 2010, following the state of emergency declared the day before, they entered a specific building. They seized documents from it. The official parliamentary record describes those documents as items seized from the office of Christopher Dudas Koch, presidential clique, Tivoli Gardens. That was not a gang headquarters. In the way most people imagine gang headquarters. It had an office. It had files. It had records. It operated with the organizational structure of an institution. The presidential clique was Dudas Koch's governing apparatus inside a community that the Jamaican state had, for decades, failed to fully govern itself. And Harry Dog ran the streets that answered to it. His role was not ceremonial. He was not present for appearances. According to the Jamaica Observer, he was described as the right hand to Dudas Koch. According to the Jamaica Gleaner and the Jamaica Star, he was a reputed top lieutenant in a garrison where the Don's authority depended entirely on the loyalty and competence of the men directly below him. The right hand was not a title. It was a function. He was the last man who knew how it worked. He understood the lanes, the loyalties, the arrangements, the lines between communities, and the consequences for crossing them. He was the operational memory of the system that made him extraordinarily valuable, and eventually, it made him extraordinarily dangerous to someone. The legal record around Harry McLeod in the years between Dudas's fall and his own death tells a particular story. In 2012, he faced a gun and ammunition charge and was freed. That same year, his murder trial in the Home Circuit Court could not proceed. According to the Jamaica Gleaner, the sole eyewitness did not appear. The matter stalled. In 2015, he was acquitted by a resident magistrate's court of charges of larceny, receiving a stolen motor vehicle, and forgery connected to a car found in Tivoli Gardens. The prosecution offered no evidence. Harry Dog walked out of that courtroom the same way he had walked out of the others. The charges came, the witnesses did not, the cases closed. That was not luck in any straightforward sense. That was the architecture of the garrison working exactly as it had always been designed to work. Silence is protection. Silence is a wall that the court system could not breach. But that architecture had a foundation, and the foundation was Dudas Koch. In May of 2010, the Jamaican government bowed to sustained pressure from the United States and signed the extradition warrant. What followed was the bloodiest episode in West Kingston since the political wars of the 1970s. According to a statement by Jamaica's Attorney General to Parliament, 73 civilians died in the fighting. 4 members of the security forces were killed. Approximately 800 soldiers of the Jamaica Defense Force and 370 officers of the Jamaica Constabulary Force moved through Tivoli. Security forces recovered 88 guns and 14,000 rounds of ammunition, along with grenades and other explosives. A state of emergency was declared on the night of May 24 and lasted for a month. Dudas himself was not found in the initial operation. He was captured on June 22, disguised and on the move, and subsequently extradited to the United States. In 2011, he pleaded guilty in federal court to racketeering and drug trafficking. He was sentenced to 23 years in prison. He was last man who knew how it worked, and now he was gone. The presidential clique was dismantled. Its office was cleared by security forces. Its files were seized. The organizational infrastructure that had governed Tivoli Gardens as a parallel state was stripped to the walls in a single military operation. What it left behind was not peace. It left behind a vacuum, and vacuums in garrison communities do not stay empty. According to the Combating Terrorism Center at West Point, citing a direct interview with Jamaica's National Security Minister Peter Bunting, at least 4 groups began fighting for power in Tivoli Gardens after Dudas was detained. The ordered brutality of the Dawn system gave way to the disordered brutality of competing factions with no single authority and no single set of rules. Harry Dog survived that transition. That alone said something about him. In a world where the fall of a Don typically meant the elimination of his most visible lieutenants, he kept living, kept moving, kept navigating the ruins of the system he had spent years maintaining. Whether that survival was owed to residual respect, residual fear, useful knowledge, or something else entirely, no confirmed source can say with certainty. What the record shows is that he was still present in West Kingston a decade after the incursion, still known. Still connected enough that his murder immediately made the Jamaica Gleaner's front page reporting and put the commissioner of police in front of cameras the next morning. That level of response does not happen for a man who has faded into irrelevance. Harry Dog mattered in 2021. The question is why, to whom, and what that mattering had cost him. By the time January of 2021 arrived, West Kingston was already bleeding. According to the Jamaica Observer, 15 murders had been recorded in the Kingston West Police Division by January 29, 2021. That was 12 more than the same period the year before. 16 shootings had been recorded, 13 above the prior year's figure. The community that once operated under the structured iron discipline of the presidential clique was now living under what one resident speaking to the Jamaica Observer described as 2 curfews at the same time. A COVID curfew like everywhere else, and a shooting curfew that meant when the sky went dark over Tivoli, you went inside and stayed there. The silence that once indicated control had become the silence of fear. And that distinction, small as it might sound to people outside those lanes, was everything. Under Dudas, silence was architecture. It was chosen. It was the community's agreement with the system that protected it. Under the fractured post-incursion order, silence was survival. It was the absence of safety, mistaken for the presence of it. Harry Dog, standing on Darling Street at 7:50 in the morning of January 30, was Harry Dog doing what he had always done, moving, present, visible in the lanes that he had helped govern for years. And that visibility, which had once been his authority, was the thing that made him findable. The silver car found him. Days after Harry McLeod was killed, a 17-year-old named Shavar Burton was shot dead. According to the Jamaica Star, he was believed to have been killed in retaliation for Harry Dog's murder. He had no confirmed criminal affiliation recorded in any institutional source, His relatives said he was not involved in criminality. He was 17 years old, on a street in a community that no longer had anyone capable of enforcing the line between conflict and collateral damage. That was the consequence escalation that Harry Dogg's death set off. Not a targeted war between organized factions. A spasm. An aftershock in a community that was already shaking. The commissioner of police said he knew who did it. He said the targeted operations were running. No public arrest was confirmed in any high-grade source before this episode was written. The silence that closed over Harry Dogg's killing was the same silence that had shielded him for 20 years. It just belonged to different people now. He was the last man who knew how it worked. And when they buried him, they buried the last living link between what Tivoli had been under the presidential clique and whatever West Kingston was becoming in its place. The machine did not stop. It never stops. It just stopped having anyone who knew where all the parts were. That was the story of Harry McLeod. If this episode moved you, if it taught you something, if it kept you up, share it. Follow us if you have not already, and stay close, because on the next episode of Jamaican Gangster, we are going somewhere you are not ready for.